I'm Jason Lopez at the Deals Private Capital Symposium in New York. One of the issues at this year's 2008 symposium is foreign investment in the U.S. There have been many calls in the country to question the motives of sovereign wealth funds looking for deals. Gary Parr, deputy chairman at Lazard, was a keynote speaker at the symposium who offered his insights into cross-border investing. Later in this podcast, we'll hear an excerpt from his keynote. But here's an interview with Gary Parr conducted during the symposium. He starts by commenting on the rise in foreign economies, which has paralleled the rise in sovereign wealth funds.
They see the development of countries as their own economy. Brazil is a perfectly good example, where the Brazilian economy is growing very fast. It's internal growth. There's some amount of export, but it's really internal growth. And so investing in a growing economy such as that has great appeal to sovereign wealth funds, having nothing to do with cross-border export activity. There's some amount of that in other markets that are developing in Asia, where they are developing their own real economy. And so that is a high priority for a number of the funds, for the long term, taking a long term view in particular.
Well, when we look at sovereign wealth funds as the threat that's been talked about, there is this sense that other countries are investing in the U.S. It sounds like sovereign wealth funds are investing globally. That's a better picture, is that right?
It would be perfectly fair, absolutely. The dollar, or in fact I'm using dollar, so it makes it sound U.S.-centric. If the euro flow, or take it as renminbi or whichever currency you like, are flowing on a global basis, the investments are being made globally. Indeed, large investments have been made into Europe. The largest investments, in fact, of the sovereigns have been made into Europe. So looking at those flows, the smaller economies, it's harder to track. They're not as big a deals going into a Brazil or into Latin America or parts of Asia, just because they are smaller economies, smaller, the capitalization of the companies there are smaller. But it's not to say it's not as equal or higher percentage of their marketplace is actually going into sovereign wealth funds.
How important does this become globally for the global economy, the cross-border investing of sovereign wealth funds?
Yeah, it's becoming, given the order of magnitude was less than $3 trillion, which is a big number, but less than $3 trillion in 2007. And if that number is growing towards $10 trillion, which is entirely conceivable within 7 to 10 years, then you look at that math and you can see that that amount of capital is going to make something work very well around the world. It's going to be needed, whether it's for building projects, supporting companies that are growing, that this is capital is going to be needed in the financial systems.
And can you put that into perspective in terms of the cross-border investing that we're sort of used to, and that is, you know, large American corporations?
No, in the grand scheme of things, U.S. pension funds, for example, or endowments, are still larger pools of capital. And so it just happens on the margin, however, they're rather fully invested. So the new flow on the increment is less, but they actually are bigger investors. They have more capital that they have put to work in a variety of places. So in a sense, we're looking at the marginal investor, which is awfully important. It matters where the marginal investor is going, and the sovereign wealth funds represent an important part of that. I think they will matter to some smaller economies. I could observe they made a big difference to the U.S. economy in the latter part of 2007 and early 2008, because if they had not stepped in to some of the big financial institutions, I can only imagine that our financial system would have had some serious troubles if that capital had not been available. So they made a difference. It's in other countries and other types of investments that make much longer term difference, and that is building plants, building natural resource capabilities, which indeed a lot of their capital is going into.
Here's an excerpt from Gary Parr's morning keynote at the Deals Private Capital Symposium in New York.
It was an important dynamic where many of the institutions realized that they should do structured transactions rather than just buying common in order to protect on the downside in a difficult time in the financial environment. None of us is smart enough to call the bottom in financials, for that matter, any other industry. So rather than try to call the bottom, it was better to structure the deal to get 3 years of protection to the downside and then convert into the common. And presumably, sometime within the next 3 years will be the turn, and therefore it'll prove to be an attractive investment. And I think that's important. It tells you something both about the sophistication of the funds changing very quickly in a matter of months from buying common to buying structured securities, And secondly, it tells you something about time horizon. They don't have to worry about performance quarter to quarter. But this notion that they did, that only 2 out of 14 or above, also had a chilling effect on subsequent financing. So I'd say, again, back to this confluence of why today, as capital raising is taking place, so many of the transactions are going to the public market. And a part of it is because, indeed, the sovereigns have pulled back for political reasons, for the fact they've already put a lot of capital to work, and because there's this concern that if you're already in the financial sector, which is, again, where the bulk of the capital has gone, there's reason to say, well, we're in, we'll wait and see now. Because if it turns and if it's going to get better, we're going to make money, we don't need to double up. Characteristics that have defined how the sovereigns have tended to invest in these public stakes. Strong brands and franchises makes a huge difference. The entities are thinking very long term, and they're not really concerned with, and it's always dangerous, as an aside, it's always dangerous to generalize, but I'm going to do just that and make some generalizations. So they are not 100% true in that they do not apply to everyone, but they apply to the majority. So strong franchises, strong brands. Second is they like to invest in open economies. There really is a sensitivity in the Middle East and in China, each for their own reasons, about having political friction. The Chinese are notably concerned about heading towards the Olympics, and the last thing they want to have is bad publicity ahead of the Olympics. The Middle East have all their own reasons for not wanting bad publicity and bad trade relations. So the political climate matters, country by country. Some countries are more welcoming than others, and that creates opportunity. A third is the ability to put a sizable amount of capital to work. If someone asked, as we've had the conversations with these funds, the number one industry that they have invested in is financial institutions. That's not because they thought financial institutions is a great strategic sector for the next 20 years. It's because that's where they could put sizable capital to work in some great franchises very quickly. The need was there, the money was needed, the demand, and hopefully, as they invest, they hope at very attractive prices they could buy sizable stakes. But there's an interesting of demand and supply. Well, no, the money is there. There's just, you know, there's no getting around that. There's a sizable amount of capital to be invested, but they need opportunities where they can put sizable amount of capital to work. And that happened to be financials over the last 8 months. And a last thing is that they control. Virtually all of these investments, the funds really didn't want control. They didn't want it for political reasons, but I'd say more notably, they don't have the expertise yet. Most of these funds are indeed institutional types of investors. They may do it in one size and chunk, so they know how to structure a transaction, but they are institutional investors with a long-term view, more like a pension fund is the way I'd think of the comparable. And that means they are not really interested in taking control. They haven't built up staffs to have control and influence and board seats. And it happens in many countries that could be politically problematic anyway. But that's where we are today is the types of investments. Again, there are in the lesser side, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, however, comment, of course, sometimes sovereigns and or funds that are parts of sovereigns buy control of companies. A couple of years ago, we sold Madame Tussauds to, the Wax Museum, to Dubai. Now, you know, interesting, when we did it, when we sold it to them, there was no political backlash. No one particularly cared, and no country viewed the Wax Museum as a strategic asset. So we all know that there are certain industries and businesses they could indeed acquire control of, and we'll see how that evolves through time and which of the funds build up the expertise to do that. But it's not the main event. It is not where the expertise has been developed as yet.
Gary Parr is deputy chairman at Lazard. He spoke at the Private Capital Symposium hosted by The Deal in New York City in May 2008. I'm Jason Lopez.